to me, Paul was saying. I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have. What's that foundation? Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. Watch this. Let me give you this context. You can use a variety of talents and gifts, personalities, because we all have, you know, unique ones. But then the next part says this. Let's be clear. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Oh, so let's be clear. There is a judgment day. Now, judgment for the church is different from judgment for those who are not the church. And we can come back to that another time. But just in short, judgment for the church is what you're really seeing going on here. It's now an analyzation of your work. But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, well, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved still, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. So now watch this. In this sense of judgment day, here Paul is describing the matter that the church in particular has to give an account of the work that we do. And that work now is going to be kind of analyzed by fire in terms of its worth. So it's kind of like, you know, now gold. You know, gold goes through a fire process to burn off all the dross and everything so that what actually remains is gold. So here Paul is describing, he says, well, this is what happens with everything that you and I are doing. And the things that last, that have value, now that will create a reward, but the things that get burned up, says now you're going to wind up suffering great loss. Well, what's the difference? What things have value to God? The things on his mission. The things on his mission. Listen, let me say it clearly. Not necessarily your mission. But the things on his mission is what now is able to endure the fire. See, this is where we got, you know, years ago, some of you can remember this, used to say it, you know, always, in the church in particular, and I don't hear it as much, but it's still true, just as it was then. Only what we do for Christ will last. So it's good for, it's nice that we have our own agendas and things and all that, but God says, what's going to be able to stand up in the fire is what you are doing for me. Well, we're quiet on this one. Only what you're doing for me. And this is what we talked about. I was talking to our leaders, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I guess it was. You know, that we all have to be proficient to know how to use everything that God has blessed us with, all that we are, for the purpose of his mission. Everything that we have is for his mission. Watch this. Listen. Your family is for God's mission. Those children, I know you think they're your children. No, God gave you those children. They were his children long before you ever saw them or, you know, had any kind of recollection of them. They're his children. And God says, now, your children, I've given them to you for my mission. Everything comes back to God's mission. God never deviates off his mission, ever, ever. That's what Jesus coming into the earth, you know, now, you know, being, you know, scourged and crucified and put to death and resurrecting from the grave, praise God. That's what all that's about. God is on mission. And now God's called his church. Now, if you're going to be with me, God says, you got to stay on mission. Tell the person next to you, say, stay on mission. Stay on mission. So shed all that does not matter to you. Well, I shouldn't say to you. Shed all that does not matter to God and return to the uncluttered way of following Jesus. That's a real simple, uncluttered way of just simply going with Jesus. Now, I do not advocate here being what I would call kind of spacey and disconnected, and you can't really relate in the world because you're just so ultra spiritual. I'm not, please, don't do that. Don't do that and go off and tell me that. That's what Pastor Crawford said. Don't, please, don't put my name in there. We should be able to talk intelligibly, sensibly, you know, with conviction, you know, in the marketplace, on a job, et cetera, and helping individuals understand that this is still coming back to God's mission. Here's a statement that I like. I think we have it for you. Developing as a disciple and developing new disciples must be a burning passion and a non-negotiable part of the mission. Developing as a disciple and developing new disciples, that's got to be a burning passion. That needs to wake you up in the morning. Like, I am on God's mission. And first and foremost, it's about me being his disciple. Come on, following Christ, embracing his, you know, identity, embracing his sacrifice. Come on, embracing all that he is. That's the mission. I'm embracing his mission. That should wake us up in the morning. We should be excited about that. I said, we should be excited about this. Yeah, being able to have the privilege, watch this, to work with God. Man. What an honor. What an honor. There was some movie. It's a World War I or maybe II movie. I'm not sure which one it is. It's called Fury. It's about this tank and the individuals in the tank. Now, after they would, you know, barely make it through surviving their life, you know, in a battle, and they would win, their catch slogan was, best job I ever had. It's like working in this tank. Best job I ever had. Yeah, best job I ever had. And when I think about it, I'm just like, no. Being on mission with God, best job I ever had. Come on, everyone say it with me. Best job I ever had. Now let's ask the question, though. Do you have that job? Are you on mission? Are you on mission? See, the movement moves us on to mission. If you haven't moved, if we're not moving on mission. Now, moving on mission, that takes so many different forms that can be. You know, so I don't want to box us in like, well, that means you have to do exactly like what this person does or that person does. No. You're you. But you and all that God has blessed you with should be centered around his mission and using those things for his mission. Let's look briefly here at how Jesus makes disciples. Because if making disciples is so important to God, we need to know how to do it. And the clearly the example in following that is Jesus. So notice here in Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 36. I'm going to give you five things real quick. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went to find him. Now, if you read the whole context there, the night before, Jesus is out. He's casting out devils. He's healing. I mean, he's doing all kind of ministry work. And then they kind of, you know, go apart, he and his disciples, and they, you know, get some rest. But while the disciples are still resting, Jesus gets up early. Gets up now. Watch this, where it says before daybreak. Some translations say a great time before day. And he goes away isolated to pray. When the disciples finally do get up, they then go out to try to find him. Here's key number one about how Jesus made disciples. He demonstrated the priority of worship and devotion to God above everything else. He was like, man, we can get out here and do great things. Come on, we can make impact. Impact is who we are. Impact is what we do. So, but if you're not worshiping, if you don't have a lifestyle of devotion, you're doing this for you. You're not doing this on mission. It says worship and devotion of Almighty God trumps everything. So that's why Jesus said, I'll get up early, or that we even see other times where he didn't go to sleep at all, because I have to make sure this is the priority. This is the fuel that feeds my engine. I can't do any of this the right way without him. Now watch this. Let's be clear, just so you can understand. You can do good things, and you can do good things even for God and not be connected with God. Huh, what was that? Well, wait a minute. I don't know if I agree with that, preacher. All right, good, good. Go look at Matthew chapter 7. And for me, it's one of the most heart-wrenching passages in Scripture. Because in it, you see these individuals that are standing before God saying, look, we did all these mighty things and these great works in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then watch this. He says, because I never knew you. You were doing this stuff, quote unquote, for me, but you were never with me. Worship. Devotion. Don't lose it. Don't let your life get so busy, you know, that it can get squeezed out. It's something, listen, I just talked to you just as your pastor. It's something I have to fight to maintain. Because stuff and responsibilities and so forth, and you feel like you got to tend to the responsibilities. Well, your first responsibility is tend to God. And I find when I slow myself down to stay with that discipline, then the responsibilities that come after that are so much easier. In Mark chapter 3, says, and he went up, talking about Jesus, on the mountain, and called to him those he himself wanted. Oh, so you just couldn't come to Jesus because you wanted to. In this case, he called those he wanted. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Number two, Jesus called them to be with him. The first thing you see here, it says, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Community is significant to Jesus. See, if you're going to make disciples, you don't make disciples from a distance. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciples, come on, you got to get up close and personal with me. Come on, you got to experience my bad breath in the morning. Come on, we got to be in the trenches together. Jesus says here, I want you to be with me. Here, first priority is, come on, we worship God and our devotion to God. He says, but then watch this, you have to understand just how to be with me. Now, when we talk about, you know, making disciples, that means we have to slow down and our schedules can't be so consumed that we can't make time for other people. Community is significant to Jesus. But then the second part he says in this same passage is talking about, well, I'm sending you out to preach. See, he commissioned them to preach. Watch this. This is that emphasis of evangelism. Evangelism now. Where God now is interested in the carrying forth of his mission in the earth. And it happens mainly through words. Through words. Let's see. It's St. Francis of Assisi. He's a monk in the 13th century, I guess. And he makes a statement. I like the statement, but you also have to kind of chew the hay and spit the sticks with the statement. And the statement was this: preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. And I understand exactly what he means by that. Like, this has to be a lifestyle. But then some people get in a rut on the other side of that, and then they don't use words. Ladies and gentlemen, if words are not going forth, if there's no preaching, if there's no declaration of what God is saying, come on, there can be no salvation. And the preacher, excuse me, the preaching is not just simply the responsibility of the pastor. I got news for you. Everybody in the church is called to preach. Come on, just look to your left, look to your right, be like, good morning, preacher. Come on, smile at them big. All of us called to preach. Why? Because we're disciples. We're disciples. Just like these disciples now were commissioned to go out to preach, you and I have been commissioned to go out to preach and then to help to create others just like that. The third element you see in this same passage is he gave them, watch this, power to heal sicknesses and cast out, you know, demons. Woo. See, that's the ministry element. See, that's the impact. That's making a difference there. Now we see individuals that are hurting and then we bring life. Come on, now we see individuals now that are under, you know, oppression, and we help to break the bondages off of them so they can live a life of freedom in Almighty God. This is how Jesus made disciples. Listen, this is a good formula for us to follow to make disciples as well. Then the last one I'll give you is this in John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Now, I like this. Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and while he was there, it says he found Philip. See, discipleship making is actively pursuing and then commissioning people. Jesus actively pursued some. And then once he pursued them and got to them, he says, "Now I'm going to commission you." Watch this. Not to go out and start, great whatever, business or whatever. It says, "I'm commissioning you to follow me." Come follow me. All of our calling starts with following Jesus. The moment we stop following Jesus, everything that we've, other things has been added on top of our calling is getting lost. So for example, for myself, I am called to follow Jesus. If I do not follow Jesus, then I have lost, being a pastor. So just because I can teach it and all of that means nothing if I stop following Jesus. Now, none of the church folks, we intentionally wake up and be like, "I ain't following Jesus. Tired of that." Now, we don't necessarily do that. But we can have the temptation to wake up some morning like, "You know what? I just want to do it this way." Anyone ever had, that moment where you felt like, okay, God was kind of leading you this way, but you wanted to go that way? Come on. Anybody? I can remember years ago when I did really a lot of counseling. Some individuals wouldn't come to get any counsel. They didn't want to go to counseling. And this is what they would tell me. It says, "Because I already knew what you was going to say." So rather than come to you and watch this and quote unquote kind of be obligated now because you're going to tell me what God says, I'm just going to go do what I want to do. As if you're still not obligated to do what God said. He actively pursued them, and he commissioned them to follow him. Let me take the last few moments on this point here. The mission, as we can see, is being a disciple, and it's making new disciples. And when you understand that, you'll also, make this connection, that God's primary means of financing his mission is through what he calls tithes and offerings. See, generosity is what fuels God's mission. Let me say this to you. Please catch hold of this. One who is a believer in God's mission connects with his means to finance that mission. Let's look at a couple things. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8 and verse 10 we'll read. God is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says this unto them, "Should people cheat God?" He says, "Yet you have cheated me." He says, "But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you, God?" God responds, "You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me." Interesting. Now, let's be clear. God is not saying here, "Oh, you've cheated me of the tithes and offerings, so you made me broke." No. Come on. Come on, God owns it all. But what God is saying is, you're robbing me of the opportunity. to one to really do some greater things in your life, but even more importantly, maybe you're robbing the mission. You're not on mission. God at this particular time is like, I got something at work here to be able to redeem everybody, bring everybody back. Come on, here on earth, we revolutionize everything, the entire, you know, solar system. He says, but I need my people to be on mission with me. Verse 10, he says, therefore, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. What's the purpose there of the food? This is food for the mission. So we're talking about food, not talking about, you know, just, you know, chicken and, you know, turkey or whatever the case may be. Talking about having the substance and the sustenance necessary to fulfill the mission. What's the mission? Go and make disciples. Or let's say it this way, equip all people to grow fully in Christ. It says, if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, he says, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Said, try it. Put me to the test. Now listen, let me balance this for you. There's always blessings attached to submitting to God's will. It's always. That's the benefit, but listen, but that's not our why. That's not why we submit to God's will for us. I'm going to do this so I can be blessed. No. The blessing is there. That's a benefit, but that's not the why. That's not why we do. That's not why we're on mission. That's not why we tithe. That's not why we offer, you know, so that we can, you know, get rich or whatever the case may be. No, we do it because we're trying to further God's mission. Everything God does is about his mission. Let's say it this way from Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven. How do you do that? Stay on mission. Where is it safe? Where is it safe from moth and rust and burglars? It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Let me say it to you this way. The place where your treasure is reflects the thing you value most and will end up doing. Let's see, last year? No, I guess 2 years ago now. So my wife and I, we went, we took a trip to Hawaii. It was a great, great time. You know, he's out there, I got a tan. I'm just joking. And now while we're out there, we decided that we were going to do some excursions. So now you know about excursions. You know, you've been on cruise ships and so forth, and you know, book an excursion. What happens? You got to pay for it in advance. And they give you a particular time and so forth. So when you put your money there, you know, then they say, okay, you need to report at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, such and such, such and such. So what do? You report at 8 o'clock in the morning. The place where your treasure is reflects the thing you value most and will end up doing. None of us book an excursion and then don't show up. Man, when we were in Hawaii, that's where I was going with this. We booked an excursion for this, you know, island tour and, you know, so on and so forth. And so they were running a little late or something. And so, you know, it was like, okay, we got time to get some coffee and so forth. Well, they actually wound up making it sooner than they thought. But we was getting the coffee. So the missus was getting the coffee, and then I saw them pull up, and they was just like, oh, you're the Crawfords? Yeah, we're the Crawfords. Okay, we're here, we're ready to go. I said, ah, y'all gonna have to hold on. So hold on. My bride is over there. She'll be coming in just a few minutes. Well, you know, we're on the schedule. I don't care what schedule you're on. You're gonna stay right here. Because we getting on this van. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Why? Because we didn't pay our money. See, what your treasure is reflects what you value and what you'll end up doing. See, the fact that we paid for that excursion meant we was going on that excursion. It didn't matter what those folks, you know, the driver was saying. It didn't matter what the other people on the van was like. We didn't pay our money too. You got us delayed. Like, hey, I'll buy y'all all something to drink at lunch or something, you know. But if y'all gonna wait here, because you didn't put your treasure there. Our treasure, again, always reflects, you know, represents our time, our talent, our money. And here Jesus was making clear, it says, where your treasure is the reflection of what you value and what you will then participate in. Let me say this. This is kind of how the Spirit of God shared things with me. The tithe and offering are not given as a mere act of obedience or sacrifice, nor is it given as a desire to get rich. That's not why you tithe. That's not why we give offerings. Tithing and offering, or the faithful practice of tithing and offering, I should say, is to reflect that you value God's mission of making disciples of Christ, and you participate in that process. That's what tithing and offering is all about. That I'm on God's mission, and now I'm about, watch this, financing God's mission. And not only am I putting my money into it, but it also tells you what I'm doing too. So I'm not just simply just giving it. I'm just staying off to myself. But I give, and then I'm engaged in making disciples of Christ. Those, again, who embrace Christ and his sacrifice, his identity, and his mission. That's where our tithe and our offering come together. So we end on this point. Last week, the challenge and the action step, you know, for week one was to get in on the 21 days of prayer and fasting. So I hope you did that. If you didn't, join us now. This week, here's your action step. In 2023 and beyond, come on, be Buzz Lightyear. Go all in on God's mission of making disciples of all nations, reflected by faithfully tithing and giving offerings, and participating in the making of disciples throughout the community. Listen, if the privilege of tithing and offering is not something that maybe you've done, you know, in your family, in your household, I want to challenge you to make this year the year that you do so. If you don't really understand, you know, all that tithing and offering is about, well, come talk to us. We'll be glad to, you know, explain to you, you know, some more details. In simple form, tithe is just, you know, really kind of the top 10% off of the increase that comes into our life. We watch this. We designate it for the mission. I'm on God's mission. This is for the mission. And it's non-negotiable. Offering is just what is on your heart to give above the tithe. Listen, if there's no tithe, then you got to question yourself, is there really an offering? Because by definition, the offering is what's above the tithe. It's 10%. It's not just any 10%, though. It's the first and the best. It's the first and the best. You know, it's not a case that you go, we go out and we pay all our bills like, oh, okay, whoo, praise the Lord, I got enough left to tithe. Now, that's some approach some people take, but no, God says, no, the first. So like, you know, how we have, you know, with our online system where you can just, like, schedule it, you know. So, like, we have schedule ours. Just, you know, when we get paid, watch this, God's mission gets funded. That is how God finances, kind of the main way that God finances his mission. So if we're going to be mission-minded, if we're going to be on mission with God, then, you know, simply by association of what God says, this also has to be a part of our practice. Amen. We faithfully tithe. Amen. We faithfully give offerings. Ah, oh, yeah, but you don't know how it is out here. Yes, I do. I live here. I live in this culture and society and economic environment. I do. But I also know God's economy trumps this world's economy every day of the week. And you got to learn how to live on a different system. So, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for your word today. We are committed to continue to move with you, sir. And in this movement, Daddy, we recognize the significance and importance of being on your mission. Everything you do, Daddy, is centered around your mission. So help us, teach us how to use the tools and the resources and the things that we have to further your mission. Help us to be creative, Father, to come up with ways that people have never seen before, to be able to use who we are, what we have, to further your mission of making disciples. Making those, praise God, that embrace your sacrifice, that embrace your identity, and that embrace your mission. Father, we recognize that of the importance of us living that way first and foremost. That's the starting point for then going out to make disciples. Help us to have that heart, Daddy, that our worship and devotion with you is non-negotiable. We don't sacrifice or allow that to slip for anything. And Daddy, help us to have the mindset of being exactly who you've called us to be here at Impact Church, that we're generous. And that generosity starts. It starts with the tithe and the offering. So we commit unto you this day, here 2023, that we shall faithfully bring your tithe, all of it. Yes, and faithfully, consistently give offerings, Father, to fund your mission. We thank you for this. We love you with all of our heart and give you praise. In Jesus' name, if you agree, would you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Amen. Please keep your heads bowed with me just for a moment. Heads bowed, every eye closed in prayer. Listen, if you're here today and you haven't moved with God in the initial step of just coming into relationship with him, that's where all this starts from. Praise God for, you know, tithing and offering. Those are good things to do and things that we should do. But what God wants more than anything else is you, first and foremost, in relationship. Not religion, relationship. So as you come into this relationship, he can teach you how to be on his mission. So if you've never made that decision before, here in the auditorium or, you know, at home, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you while heads are bowed and eyes are closed in prayer. Either one of those, if that invitation speaks to your heart and you've never made that decision, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Do this for me. If you desire my prayers for that one invitation right there, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven, right there where you are? Come on, at home as well. You're like, well, you can't see me. Yeah, but your good Father can. Just as an act of faith. Just, yeah. So I'm getting in on this. I'm getting in on it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll tell you what we're going to do. We're all going to be in agreement with you. See, because we're all on this mission together. So go ahead. Everyone lift up two hands under heaven. This is where our help comes from. Come on, stretch it high like you're under arrest, because you are arrested by God's amazing love. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father, thank you again for your amazing love, giving to me your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king, my everything. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan, your purpose, and your mission for life. Thank you now for making me your own. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just take 10 seconds to rejoice right there. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to your name. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, there's still 5 seconds left. Keep rejoicing. Glory. Hallelujah.